Mixed Plate Mondays. And we are here at KKCR Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ in Anahola, K284AL in Haleiwa. You can find us on the dial at 90.9 FM in Hanalei, 91.9 FM islandwide, 92.7 FM Anahola and Molawa'a, 104.7 if you're on Oahu, and 95.1 on the cable. And we stream worldwide at kkcr.org. Join us online. Mixed Plate Mondays with Auntie Nani and Living Sovereign today. It's made possible by the great listeners like you and Kauai Coffee and Collar Hill Chiropractor.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate Grown Kauai Coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo nui loa to Kauai Coffee and Kalaheo Chiropractors for supporting Kauai Community Radio and this show, Living Sovereign with Auntie Puanani Rogers.
Evelina Maikako, aloha. Mahalo for tuning in to all our listeners near and far. We send you a warm aloha from our beautiful island of Kauai here in the Kohawa'i Pai Aina, the archipelago of Hawaii. My name is Puanani Rogers, as Leilani said. Thank you for the great introduction, Lei. Lei is our engineer here. And we're going to have a great show today because we've got a couple of guests in the studio with us talking about some great events that have been going on. I think we've had about four or five, maybe four already, called our Halawai Ku'o Ko'a. It's educational events on the real history of our Hawaiian Islands, our Kohawa'i Pai Aina. By the way, that is the title of what our government of Hawaii is called. In our government documents, we're Kohawa'i Pai Aina. Okay, so thank you again for tuning in. It's a beautiful day here in Princeville, and hope you all are enjoying the same. Sit back, relax. I hope you got an hour to spare as you may be driving your car or in your hale, wherever you may be. Thank you again for joining us. And so I'd like to now just introduce our and give you a preview of what the Halawai Ku'o Ko'a is. you know, all Kanaka Maoli today are in arrears. Not arrears, in a rage because of all the things that have been happening negatively to our people, meaning, you know, what's happening with our lands, what's happening with our resources, what's happening with our ocean, what's happening with our atmosphere, all these negative impacts, not only on the Hawaiians, on all of us here that live here. And it's a struggle because we have to keep alert and keep aware of what's going on because so many things are happening so fast and all at once. So just so you know, we're really in a situation here where we feel like we've really got to do something. And so we found that one of the things that is so important in what we have to do to move our nation forward, by the way, we are sovereign, ladies and gentlemen. Our lands, our people are living in a sovereign land, as our theme song says. So one thing that we learned we had to do was to educate ourselves, because education is power, knowledge is power, and empowerment of our people is very important in our situation, in what we have to do to move forward in our restoring our nation. I hope some of you, I don't have to go through the history. I hope you folks are all up on what's happened here in our history. But we're going to review some of the things that have been discussed. And so last Friday, we had our last Halawai Ku'oko'a. And two people that are here are people that have been collaborators or the organizers. We're all in the core group. But may I introduce to you first Tim Reese, a native here of Kauai, and recently moved back from the continent. And when he came home and found out what was happening here, he got all excited and jumped into the fray with all of us. And we're so happy to have him. Tim, mahalo. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. Aloha.
Aloha. Also next to him is our own Donovan Kabibi, who you may be familiar with as a recent DJ here or a programmer here at KKCR. Donovan, say hello.
Aloha, mai kako.
Aloha. Okay, so Friday night, great show, huh? Tell us who was who those speakers were, and tell us of what you learned that was new about our history that when, you know, gave you the wow moment.
Yeah, amazing. You know, the series, the Halawai Ku'oko'a series that we've been bringing to our community, it represents the leading foremost experts in the field of Hawaiian history right now. And
we're lucky.
We're very lucky.
Very fortunate.
To have these folks agree to come to our island and accept our gracious invitation to educate our community. Ron Williams, Jr., Ph.D., brought us one of the most amazing presentations I have ever seen. Eight-year snapshot. Just before the overthrow, during the overthrow, and several years after the overthrow into the provisional government that was established.
The PGs, we call them.
The provisional government, exactly. And then Donovan Preza, who came back, it was his second appearance in the Halawai, he brought a presentation which exposed what the realities of the mahele are. Because there's so much misconception of what exactly the mahele was.
Yes.
And the current interpretation of the mahele is skewed under how the current law interprets that, and the current attorneys and the judges at court interpret the mahele.
Was it a good thing or was it a bad thing?
It was amazing, and it brought some real clarity to the whole issue for our community. I look forward to the edited version of the recordings that Hope Kalai and Tim Kalai
are doing.
They'll be releasing that on YouTube. You know, I don't have long to be with you folks, so I just want to say really, really quickly, the most significant thing that came out of this current Halawai for me was the fact that our people were so politically involved. And one of the most disparaging things that I find today amongst our people is the fact that so many of us refuse to get politically involved. And what we see here during the time of overthrow, through this tiny 8-year window that was presented to us by Dr. Williams, is that even though our monarchy, our government had been overthrown and a provisional government had been established, the people who organized together to create the Aloha Aina movement, the Hawaiian Patriotic League, they got together and they organized into a political group. And that political group commandeered the legislative body of the provisional government. And so what we see is, even though under this Hawley foreign occupation, Kanaka rising to a place of prominence in that government, taking over the legislative process and creating laws under the provisional government that protected Kanaka. Like, for instance, and this is only one of many that was presented to us, one of the most significant laws was that Hawaiians were able to pass a no-poi tax. Under the provisional government, no Hawaiian poi producer, his land or equipment or product he made, would be eligible for taxation under the provisional government. Amazing that Hawaiians, under this type of oppression, was able to do this. And we're talking about an environment where our education was outlawed, our language is outlawed. The Hawaiian, the provisional government at that time attempted to restrict these Hawaiians who had commandeered, who did not speak English at the time, by saying they weren't allowed to speak, they wouldn't be given a translator.
Yes, they spoke English.
And this body of Hawaiians who commandeered the legislative body of the provisional government said, no, we're going to pass a law that will allow Hawaiians to speak Hawaiian during this legislative body, and it passed.
There was a lot
of other things that happened, and the person who was the speaker of the body at the time, who held tremendous power in the provisional government, did veto a lot of the laws that were being and bills that were being offered by the Hawaiians who had commandeered the legislative body, right? So they're passing all these laws, presenting all these bills, working in opposition to the leader of the house in the provisional government, who at the time was Thurston, and then Dole, who all these guys enjoyed a place of prominence in the government. So they're still passing laws, still getting things passed. And one of the things that was really cool was the fact that the Hawaiians proposed a change of the names of the counties and to display where their loyalties laid. And they offered a bill that would have changed all of the names, Hawaii County, Maui County, Kauai County, to the names of our leaders. Hawaii was going to be Liliuokalani County. Oahu was going to have another leader's name, King Kamehameha County, and so on. Manukalani Po County. Dole and the Speaker of the House at that time overrode and vetoed that law that was passed, and so we still have the county names that we have today. But the point is that these Hawaiians, who knew that they were facing tremendous opposition from a small body of people, organized, became, got politically activated, understood the importance of political activism, and moved forward as a body to preserve the rights that we get to enjoy today. Those rights that those Hawaiians, those Kanaka, passed during those legislative bodies under the provisional government are still on the books today, and they still exist for us today. And they have been adopted as revised statutes, Hawaii revised statutes. And so if we are educated and we understand what the actual laws are, and we begin to educate ourselves on how to use them, we begin to see a real clear picture of where we can get active and exert our place of prominence within the community, within the Kopai Aina o Hawaiʻi.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was was a lot to say and get out in one shot, but seriously, education, education.
And activism.
Last Friday's Halawai really clarified how important political activism is, and not only how it should be for us, but how it was for our kupuna. And it's always been our way to engage in the acts and perpetuate our kupuna and their will. And we have a very clear picture in the work that Dr. Williams is doing in what our kupuna desired for us today.
Okay, I got a question. At that time, were we under Hawaiian Kingdom law?
The 8-year window that Dr. Williams provided for us was a window that peeked into the time just before the overthrow, during the overthrow, and subsequent years into the forming of the provisional government. So the window started under Kingdom law,
yes,
and then peeked into how Kingdom law was manipulated, commandeered, turned into a revised statute and adopted by, because when the provisional government, one of the things that we learned, when the provisional government created itself, they had to have a constitution, but they didn't have enough people or time to create that constitution for the provisional government, so they took it upon themselves to adopt the Hawaiian constitution and then begin to revise it from there. So what we have today is an extension of the kingdom law revised after the fact.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
So technically, yes, under kingdom law, but
yeah, that's what I wanted to know.
By fate of this occupation.
And what constitution was that, by the way?
1846.
The
1846
one.
Kili'a Aunui. Yeah, King Kamehameha the Third.
All right. Okay. Tim, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I thought we had a really good event. Donovan touched on a lot of good points. There was a lot of good information that came out. Apparently, Ron Williams' PhD was based on a collection of papers. I think he referred to it as the Judd Collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Judd was a prominent figure in the Hawaiian Kingdom government. And these collection of papers were letters from the people of that time that were submitted to churches in opposition to some of the events that were happening. A lot of these letters were never seen. We didn't know about these letters. And these letters in this collection of letters were turned over to the Bishop Museum with the condition that no one could read these letters until the last grandchild of Judd passed away. And if I'm correct, it was in 2009 that 2006, the last grandchild passed away and the letters were made available, and that is where Ron comes in.
Right.
He jumped in with his understanding of Hawaiian language and started to translate them. So that is where Ron, his PhD research comes from, is mm-hmm. analyzing the voices of
How
the
many
people.
How many letters?
Thousands.
Thousands.
I think it was thousands.
We're talking about letters over
that was all suppressed.
Years period of time.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm.
So they were the voices of the people at the time, talking about the struggles and their position. So one of the really important things that Ron talks about is almost everything that we know today, all of the literary works, the books that we read, their references all come from a source of information that was presented by 6% of the population at the time of the Hawaiian Kingdom, which was mostly foreigners and the people that have profited from this occupation. So everything that we know, all the books that we're reading from, are referencing information derived from 6% of the population. And that's why these papers are really important. This is an untold version of our history. So we talk about education mm-hmm. is very important. And that is the reason why. Because everybody's walking around operating on 6% of the story that was presented by people who had really not good intentions for the people here.
Mm.
And that's where the education comes in. We need to... Dr. Kianosai in our second Olivai said something to the effect, this is not a time to discuss history. This is a time for us to learn history. Mm. And that is what we are learning, is that there is a different story out there. And we are hearing the voices of our kapunas from the time and the actual events that did occur through these letters. And that was really moving for me in Ron's research. He's got a lot of other good information that he puts forward. He talked a lot about, as Donovan touched on, the efforts of Hui Aloha Aina, the Hawaiian Patriotic League, uniting and to create the Home Rule Party. There were three political parties at the time of the first territorial legislature, which is what Donovan was talking about.
Was there a Hui Kalai Aina as well?
I believe that Hui Kalai Aina, Hui Aloha Aina, they
formed...
And the
Women's League as well.
They all formed to create the Home Rule Party when it came... Those were individual societies or clubs, and to create a political party, they all united and created the Home Rule Party. Mm. And he explained that the Republicans were basically dull, pro-annexationists, and then the Democrats were the anti-Dole people. they didn't really like Dole for whatever reason.
We learned was a huge, significant portion of the population of Hawaii at the time. Yeah. So I have to go. Mm-hmm. But before I do, I want to offer our community the names of some really significant people, and Tim will take over from there and talk about that. We learned the names of the representatives of the Hui Aloha Aina and
from Kauai.
Mm. And their names, and I will also give the district that they were representing. In Hanalei, we had Charles Kahe'e. In Kilauea, we had George W. Mahikoa. In Hanapepe, we had Kamaile Kane. Kamaili'i Kane. In Waimea, we had J.A. Akina. In Wainiha, we had S.P. Kalaikini. And in
Kalaikini.
In Waioli, we had J. Molokai. And so these are the people who were the active Hui Aloha Aina representatives for Kauai. If you go to the church, the Hawaiian church in Kapa'a,
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to go and visit George W. Mahikoa's gravesite.
Oh.
It's the two large pohaku that are in the cemetery. That's the resting
right
place of the Mahikoa Ohana. And you can go pay your respects to them and offer them your mahalo for the work that they did in preserving
our... ceremony
and, so with that said, you're welcome, Kauai. You now have the names of the people who are directly responsible for representing our moku, and with that, I will say aloha to all. Enjoy your afternoon. Thank you for allowing me my time.
Thank
with you, folks.
Thank you, Donovan. Okay, Donovan has to go to do a gig somewhere. So, thanks for stopping by, though. Appreciate it so much. Okay, we can. Okay, maybe you should read the rest of that. What that said there about.
Yeah, I would like to send a request out to the community. Ron Williams did some research, and he did pull up some information regarding these individuals, the Kapoi Aloha Aina o Kauai, our elected delegates that were part of that first territorial legislature. And
what is the year?
1908 was the Newlands Resolution, Organic Act, 1901.
I can hear.
So there's only two of these individuals. What I wanted to request was if anybody has any information regarding these individuals, Charles Kahe'e, George W. Mahikoa.
Or any descendants on the island?
Aye. Kamaili'i Kane, J.A. Akina, S.P. Kale Kini, or J. Molokai. If you have any information regarding these people, can they call you?
Yes.
I think if you called into Kaiulani Mahuka, she would appreciate some information on this.
We can connect with her. Yes. Okay.
These are very important individuals in our history. And, you know, we know all about George Washington, you know.
I'll put it out on an email.
Maikai.
And then spam it and see what kind of responses we might get from the community.
Wonderful.
That would be great. And definitely, well, we'll have Kai also read it on the show maybe on Wednesday or on Thursday. So keep this going. Keep this information alive and see if we can find descendants or people that may know their descendants that have lived here on Kauai. That is amazing. So I think we should pay homage to those two people that are buried in Kapa'a. I had no idea that was true, and I make it a point to go down there and go check it out.
Honor
Thanks.
Them.
Yes, and honor them. So,
so with Donna,
how do we find out more about Ron Williams for our listeners?
I don't have his contact information. You can Google him online. Ron Williams. I believe he works at UH Manoa.
Dr.
Ron Williams.
I have found some of his papers on the internet, several of them he's put out. And if I remember correctly, I think in one of my emails, he did put out the presentation that he did Friday night. the written presentation of what he did on Friday night, so that's going to be great. I'm going to go look that one up, too. and then what about Donovan? He talked about the Mahele, and you know how in the beginning we believed that the Mahele was a bad thing because it was divvying up our lands to different people, and we had no such thing as fee simple at that time. So how did he explain that?
Well, like you said, you know, the Mahele was how the Hawaiians lost the land, yeah. Right? That's what how we understand it.
Yes.
And his title of his presentation was Re-examining Hawaiian Disposition Resulting from the Mahele. And I think this is one of the, this is probably the largest issue regarding the continued existence of the Hawaiian Kingdom. Land. Land ownership derives from sovereignty. Yeah, you cannot own land without there being sovereignty vested in either a monarch or the people. So the sovereignty needs to manifest for land ownership to occur. And what I really learned from Donovan's presentation, what he presented was actually, I believe, what he teaches. 6-week course done in an hour, if you could imagine that. He was flying through the screen slides. There was all kinds of stuff. There was a lot of information that he was presenting, but he did stop constantly and ask any questions. It was a lot of information. But what I really learned was the Mahele was not so much the division of land. What it really was dividing was the vested rights. Mm. There are three classes of people acknowledged here in Hawaii as having vested rights in all the lands in Hawaii. And it was the government, the Konohikis, and the Maka'ainana, or the commoners.
Yes.
The king took the role as a Konohiki, as an individual, but in his capacity as king, he was the executive voice of the government. So that's kind of a little more complicated when you get into the crown lands.
And it was one-third, 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 or something like that, yeah?
Yes. So he basically walked through the process of what happened in the Mahele, and how you would get a royal patent. And he explained how the rights were being divided out. The king took all the, had control of all the lands, and then he went and divided it amongst, he took what he took all the lands back in, and he took what he wanted, and he let the chiefs have portions of lands.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, he was giving up, he was giving each of those chiefs their right to that land. What the ahupua's and what that was the mm-hmm. only konohiki that had konohiki rights within that ahupua'a. The konohiki then would go to the government and pay a commutation fee to the government, removing the government's rights in that land. So the only rights that were left in that land were the konohikis and the native tenants. And it is the native tenant rights that are undividable. They cannot be removed. And that's something I'd like to go into a little later. It talks about our duality of legal systems. You guys kind of were wondering about Hawaiian Kingdom law and the transition to Hawaii revised statutes. And
did he happen to mention allodial lands, allodial titles?
We didn't really get into that.
No.
Like I said, this is a 6-week course. He did an hour. We could have been. He probably could have talked for 3 hours. He did walk through.
But we know what allodial lands are. They're irreversible. It can never be changed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in perpetuity, and it happens to be. It's happening today. We have people that have those kind of titles of land and are having to fight for it because people are not understanding what the allodial titles is. But it was set by King Kamehameha III, I believe. It was his way of keeping the lands in our hands. So we need to do a little station break.
Yep.
Thanks, Dean. We'll just take a quick pause.
We're going to take a deep break. And,
you can
just
play a little music,
let
too.
Let everybody know that KKCR, you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kiloa.
Sing us song of sovereignty wherever you may be. Throw your voice upon the wind and let it ring. Join the voices of the ages in an ancient melody. It's a song you shouldn't be afraid to sing. It's a song that was written by our father's father's hand. It's the only thing we have at our command. Sing it to the children so that they will understand that the future lies within our trembling hands. We are native to this land. Let us walk hand in hand. We are children of the sea, you and me. We are joined by the spirit of ancestral dignity. Sing a song of sovereignty. As we walk together down the dark and lonely road, let us pray the voice of reason shall prevail. Every step into the future is a step into the past, as we trudge along an old familiar trail. We are coming home to thee, Mother Nation, Hawaii, as we march from every corner of the land. Our colors flying high. We are coming home to thee, O Hawaii. We are coming home to thee, O Hawaii.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
And that was Kaili'i Raishal singing for you, Sovereignty Song from his album, Ao Mai. And we are back with Aunty Poo and Nani Rogers on Living Sovereign and her guest, Tim Reese.
Oh, mahalo. Mahalo. I love that song. I used to sing it all the time, too. I think Peter Apol wrote it.
Really? Wow.
Amazing, yeah? I wonder if he really believes in sovereignty. So, you know.
We all change.
Yeah.
Change is possible.
Right. Okay. Back to where we're okay. Leilani said she really wants to know what really Halawai Ku'akua was, so maybe we can enlighten our people about how many times now have we had an event like that?
This was the
third.
Fourth?
The third?
We actually had the protest in Ayaupuni, which would make the fourth event that we had, but of the Halawai Ku'akua. We've had three,
and we've had Keanu'sai, we've had Umi Perkins, we've had Donovan Prinza, and now...
Lorenz Gonshore, Kaho'okahi Kanuha.
Oh, Kaho'okahi Kanuha was amazing.
Wonderful.
I really, really would like you listeners, if you can hear my voice, please check out our YouTube video of his presentation. It is the most amazing history of our language. And, you know, after I listened to his speech, I grabbed my dictionary and I walked, you know, I took my dictionary around with me everywhere I went because I wanted to make sure that I would start learning my Hawaiian language.
I've had several people ask what Halawai Kukoa is. Kuakoa
means independence.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so hearing it from an expert would be really wonderful.
Well, I'm no expert.
You are.
Their Halawai gathering.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I guess,
grassroots.
Kauna. There's a kauna in the name. Halawai also, I believe, is interpreted as horizon.
Mm-hmm.
In the horizon of independence horizon, gathering of independence. It wasn't my idea. Somebody else came up with it, and that's how it was presented.
All right.
So.
Also, I would like to put out a call to the people that may have been at our Friday event. And if you happen to have any questions about what you heard that night, please call us. Our number is 826-7771. And our lines are open. Just if you have questions, if you happen to be there Friday. I couldn't go because we had a concert and had to perform.
You were perpetuating our culture.
Yeah, we were. We were. I wonder if anybody listening was at that concert. That was a hilarious concert. We had a good time.
Was that Nale Hiva Hiva?
Yeah, Kale Hiva Hiva. I Pololei. It was Friday night at the Kauai Beach Resort, put on as a fundraiser for our Malie Foundation. And it was great. If you want to come have fun and be cultural and hula and music and everything, come to our next one. We have one every year. Okay. where were we?
So the Halawai Kuokoa originally was discussed with our core group. Was there like six people, seven people that were talking about what to do next? It came on the heels of our protest Naia Puni event that was forced... Right. Due to the Naiau Puni process that was occurring and the lack of education that we felt our community was getting regarding that effort.
And so we got a hold of Shane Cobb Adams, who then talked to us about the book that Keanu wrote called Ua Mau Kea. And so one of the things we wanted to do was, hey, if we're going to educate everybody, what about us? We want to get educated too. So we are using that book. If anybody doesn't know, Keanu wrote a book. It was, I think, his dissertation, yeah?
Yes.
His PhD.
A watered-down version.
Yeah, and it's called Ua Mau Kea. You can purchase that at any of the bookstores. It comes with a DVD, too, which is an excellent DVD. see if you can get it. And the book that we're talking about is one that is teaching the true historical, political history of Hawaii. Very well put together chronologically. what I learned was identities of people that were involved in those historical situations and knowing about the names of, oh, the chief came from Kauai. Oh, his name was Kaiana. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. We had chiefs from Kauai also involved in the battles with Kamehameha and that, and moving on up to the time of the foreigners coming in. But very, very good information, very educational, and I urge you to go check it out, folks. You can probably find it on the internet. Just Google it. Yeah.
And we have Felicia on the air.
Okay.
On the phone.
Oh, mahalo.
And she was at the meeting.
Oh, great. Aloha, Felicia. You're on the air.
Yes, you know what? I have to say these meetings are just invaluable. I think they have so much meaning for anybody, whether you have a long history here or not.
Mm.
And I heard a couple things that I wanted to just add in there.
Okay.
And that was, Jonathan did bring up quite a bit about colloidal lights, and I might not totally remember it correctly, so I want to recommend that you actually watch it on the video. But I think that what I remember him to have been saying is that that was actually something called a life estate, and it didn't go on forever. So it was, you know, you might want to check on that and probably actually call him. And I think he's so passionate about it, he's really willing to talk. And something that I get out of these meetings is just a really big aha moment, you know, where I, you know, Pat and Wright and Mahele are very, very confusing. And when I was listening to what he said, and he showed background to basically be backing up what he had to say, and to me, it made a lot of sense. So people being able to look at that would be really good. One thing I'm floating through in my notes here, and I'm not quite finding it yet, was that there was two women that really did some amazing things, too. You know, we're always hearing about the men, and I love men. It's not like I'm not, like, saying yes for them. But there were two women. One was Fanny Keppo. She was from Kauai, and she was part of this delegation. And she did some really significant things there, too. So people know Fanny Keppo, if there are some descendants of her. She did quite a bit. And we brought up the Judd files and who Albert Francis Judd was. He was a missionary, and he was the head of the church. And so when these people were writing letters in, he got them, and the letters that were coming from the neighbor islands had something quite a bit different to say than maybe what they wanted the overall voice of the church to be saying. And that's why they were sequestered and held until the grandchild died, because they basically refute the history, and they were held because Albert Francis Judd did not want those out.
Right, and thank God now we have those letters. And so, you know, that makes me think that, you know, things are happening. It is the time now where I think the huli is happening, the huli au, because things are being revealed to us now that we never, ever knew. One of the things that I remember is the Kuei petitions showing up. We never knew about that. And that happened in that period, too, of when Ron was talking between 1893 and 1898. The Kuei petitions came out in 1898, I believe.
Yeah.
So, So that was a very important part of our history those years. There were, how many years was that? 5 or 6 years? From 83 to...
Seven.
Before the overthrow and after the overthrow, during the overthrow, and then and later. So, really interesting.
And I'll just say one last thing, and then I'll let you guys go back to the regular part of the show. But something for me that is so powerful when I'm listening to this is that they are still happening today. Like when we see where there's clear manipulation and a weaseling of what happened, like even just this week, we had, after all this fight on Maui to reclaim the waters and that victory being upheld by the court, the legislature last Friday upended that and returned it back after what the people in the courts had figured out. And tomorrow, I don't know how many people are going over to the legislature tomorrow, but it should be a day of a big turnout, because what they are doing is adding to the state trespass law, saying you are trespassing if it is written in front of you that there are hours to be closed. This is a clear intention to find a way to criminalize the protectors from Mauna Kea. And so it's just this chess game. And people use the system. Tim and Donovan were talking about how even right after the overthrow, the Kanaka were immediately engaged.
Yes.
And immediately effective. And one thing when Donovan was saying, it kind of got a little bit, at least I didn't quite get it out of what he was saying, when they picked different names, not only did they pick different names for the island, but the big thing that they did was they said each island is a political subdivision. Each island is a county. That was not a Western decision. That was a Kanaka decision to be putting home rule into that area. So that was a powerful change that we, to this day, you know, have the four counties.
Right.
So there was many, many important things that were done, continue to be done, and people just can't give up, whether it is for the United States of America, whether it's the nation of Hawaii, or just your own community. You have to keep giving that pushback. And so listening to the stories makes me proud of humanity, not just Kanaka Maoli, but really we're all human beings. And in the harshest of situations, and these people had such a major depopulation, so many people had died. That was a big reason that all this mayhem happened. Had not the death happened, you know, probably that nation would have completely prevailed. You know, you lose more than half your people, it's hard, you know. So anyway, mahalo for the show that you're doing. And
thank you.
And big mahalo to the organizers of the Halawai Pulakoa.
Mahalo, Felicia, for calling.
And we have just about 10 minutes, just below under 10 minutes left in the show, and we want to let everybody know that at the top of the hour, 6 p.m. here on the beautiful island of Kauai, is Can You Dig It Jazz with Richard. With Rich.
Cousin hey, Rich. Brother Rich. All right. Okay.
I wanted to thank Felicia for mentioning Sandy Keppel. Sandy Keppel was a Wahine who was, she helped to draft the constitution of the Hui Aloha Aina society that was responsible for the Kuei petitions. So the women through that effort were shown to be very effective. And I think that the Home Rule Party, they were actually doing the political speeches at that time.
So you know what I would suggest? We would have more women speakers instead of men speakers.
Why not? I think that's how our kapunas.
Like, cool. I got a few women in my mind about inviting over here. I'll talk to you about that later. Okay, yes. women did play a role in our history. And, I can remember Kaahumanu was one that... she wrote some laws that is still good today. Yeah, I used to have an echo there. Okay. And, in my era, like in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, most of the leaders I knew were women. We were the ones that were organizing sovereignty organizations and going around the... to different places, making speeches like Kaunanike or Mililani or Noe Silva, who actually was the one that found our Kue petitions. let me speak a little bit about that. In fact, we are resurrecting our Kue petitions. We're doing the 21st century one, which is having descendants of people that signed the Kue petitions to support their kupuna, by putting their names down also on a petition in support of that. So we're going all over the islands and doing that. We'll have a table at our Hale Ku'okoa events, signing people up to support our Kue petitions. That incidentally stopped the annexation, and that's why they had to do a roundabout way of getting us annexed and did a resolution instead of a treaty. So without a treaty of annexation, we have not been annexed because it was a resolution. So no treaty of annexation. What else? No state. All illegal. Fake state. Hawaii. You know, that's something I hope that all of our people will continue to repeat and repeat and repeat in everything that they say when it comes to talking about a political situation. Just say, we're sovereign. There was no treaty of annexation. The land is ours. The rights are ours. And we are sovereign. So we got to live sovereign, everybody. The name of this show is Living Sovereign. Prove it. Because we are. Aye, absolutely. Anything else you want to say, Tim? Well, got to go pretty soon.
No treaty. Like you said, no treaty of annexation, no state of Hawaii. I say that.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people don't really understand that what we're operating under is actually the Kingdom of Hawaii. You change the stickers on the trucks, change the names on the paychecks, and you can't buy Roundup. And that's basically your Kingdom of Hawaii moving forward during the transition period. You know,
absolutely.
We are operating under Hawaiian Kingdom law. I have an example here of the duality of legal systems. People can go look this up themselves. Hawaii Revised Statutes 7-1. You go online, read it. It has to do with building materials, water, etc., landlord's titles subject to tenant's use. It talks about this Hawaii Revised Statutes is word for word the Hawaiian Kingdom law of the Hawaiian Kingdom Civil Code, Chapter 34, Section 1477, word for word. And that law is very interesting because it has to deal with native tenant rights and allodial land titles. Can you get an allodial land title under U.S. real estate? I don't think you can.
No, you
can't. I don't think it's possible. So this Hawaii Revised Statutes law talks about allodial titles and the rights of the tenants on those lands. So, the transition isn't as scary as a lot of people.
It exists. Our native tenant rights do exist. As a matter of fact, if you buy any property here, you will find on the bill of sale a little phrase in there that says native tenant rights. On every bill of sale of land in Hawaii.
Nice.
So these real estate people know that. They're just ignoring it, though.
Yeah.
Also, I think we are also entitled to 1.5 acres of land every native tenant.
At least up to 50 acres, I believe, if you choose to pursue agriculture or raising livestock.
I think Keanu brought this up, yeah?
Yes.
As much as how many?
I think it's up to 50 acres.
50 acres. So, folks, you know any open land out there, go ahead and go claim them. Go sit on it. Go grow food. And just claim it because you have every right to do that. Okay.
It's definitely a complex issue, the native tenant rights, for sure.
Right. Okay, everybody, we're going to have to close now for this program, and thank you so much for listening, everyone. If you got any questions, you can call me. My phone number is 652-1249. I would be very happy to get you connected with any information that we talked about today on our show. So mahalo again. Love you all. Ke kua pu. Ahui ho. Mahalo, Tim.
A'ole pilikia. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Leilani.
And stay tuned. Coming up next is Cousin Rich and Can You Dig It Jazz.